We're in week number six, I think, or 6.5, one or the other, of our teachings entitled The Whole Counsel of God in Salvation for Mankind. Amen. And we told you from the onset of this series that our major purpose for teaching this series was to share with us the six components. Say six components.
Six components.
Did I say six or nine? The nine components. Okay, the nine components of God's whole counsel for mankind in salvation. Amen. Now, I got to admit to you, I didn't think it was going to take me this long to get there. Amen. But on the way to sharing those nine components, God has shared with us a lot of things that can help us to understand how he works with us and how he works on us in salvation. Somebody say in salvation.
In salvation.
I like to put emphasis on in salvation because I don't want people to think that I'm saying you got to work to be saved. Amen.
Yeah.
I'm talking about what go on in the life of the believer after we are saved. Amen. After we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. After salvation, these are some of the things that God begins to do in our lives that we've been talking about so that we can get to a place where we will be that light that he desires to be, amen.
All right.
That replicable of Jesus Christ in the earth realm, amen. There are some things that he has to do in our lives before we can be the image. Somebody say the image. The image of Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a scripture over in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 18 that talks about the fact that the Holy Spirit is transforming us or changing us into the image of Jesus from glory to glory. Amen. I looked at that scripture again this week. This one, actually last week, because this is a new week. And I saw something that I'd never seen before there. It starts out talking about looking into the mirror. Somebody say mirror. So I took it that he was saying to me that when I look into the mirror, the reflection that I'm seeing is his glory. And then I took it to mean that he's saying that more of my glory will be revealed as you go through the process from glory to glory, amen. But I understand, but I understand that in order for me to reflect the glory, in order for me to reflect the image and likeness of Christ, you know, they've got to go through the process. Somebody say, through the process. You know, we've been born again. I've said this to you a lot. We've been born in our spirits, but our minds have not been reborn. Amen.
Amen.
Our souls are still, well, maybe not now, but our souls were still as messed up when we got saved than they were before we got saved. Amen.
All right.
So we have to go through the process of renewing our minds. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
The spirit is whole, the spirit is complete, the spirit is perfect, but the spirit needs the mind to be in the place where God desired to be so that the spirit in us can, Holy Spirit and our born-again spirit, can get the things accomplished, that is, fulfilling the glory of God in our lives that God desires. Amen.
Amen.
So we have to go through a process. Somebody say process.
Process.
Anybody ever been through a process before?
Yeah.
Anybody ever had a process? But anyway, we have to go through a process. Somebody say process. Now, when we first start talking about these teachings, come on back. Just got to have a little jokey every now and then. Man, I had such a process one time until I used to have pink rollers in my head. Amen. It's amazing to me what we allow women to do to us. Amen. I let this woman talk me into getting my hair slicked and then coming by her house, in the evenings to get it rolled up, amen. And I was walking around with pink rollers in my head, amen. Thank God for deliverance. Somebody say amen. Somebody say he had to go through the process. Now I got this, amen. Somebody say amen. When we first started the series of teaching, we gave you a definition. Say a definition of the term salvation. Number one, we said that salvation for this particular lesson was to be delivered from the power. Say power.
Power.
power of sin. Through the process, we're delivered from the power. Somebody said, from the power. The power of sin. It was never God's plan after we got saved for us to be under the dominion of sin. As a matter of fact, the scripture says in Romans chapter 6 that we're not to let sin reign in our mortal bodies or in our living bodies, amen. So he's given us power through the Holy Spirit, through the born-again spirit, to rule and reign over sin in our lives, amen. Simplified, we don't have to practice sin. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
If you're practicing sin, it's because, one, you might be ignorant, or two, it's because you want to. You read 1 John chapter 5 enough, you might stop. Because the Bible talks about a sin that can kill us, that can take us out, amen. I don't know what the sin is, amen, and I ain't trying to find out, amen. I'd rather walk up rightly. Somebody say walk up rightly. Do the things that God has called me, us to do, instead of try to practice sin anymore, amen. So the first definition we gave you was salvation is deliverance from what? The power of sin. And then we gave you another definition. We said that salvation is redemption. Say redemption.
Redemption.
Or deliverance from the fall of mankind. Amen. Mm-hmm. Now, we've been working on the deliverance of the fall of mankind probably longer than we've worked on anything else. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
We understand by now that when Adam and Eve fell, when they committed that sin in the garden, it not only affected them, but it affected us too, amen. Why did it affect us? Because we were in Adam and Eve. All of us came from one blood. No matter if you're black or white, that's what Michael Jackson used to say, amen. No matter if you're black or white, all of us came from one blood. Ask me how God did it. I don't know, but he did it, amen. That's the miracle working power of God, amen. I don't know what color Adam and Eve was, but I just know all of us came from them, amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And then after God got mad at mankind and took out everybody except Noah and his family, guess what? All the rest of us came through them, amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So when Adam and Eve fell in the garden, it didn't only affect them, but it affected us, amen. Because they sinned. All of us were born in sin. All of us were shaped in iniquity. And all of us was victims of the outcome of the fall. Amen. The first thing we told you about the fall, somebody say
the fall.
Is when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, when they fell, when they ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the tree that God told them not to eat from, they lost their innocence. They were no longer innocent of sin, but they moved from innocence to sinners. Somebody say sinners.
Sinners.
We also learned that in Christ Jesus, somebody say
in Christ Jesus,
we, the believer, regain that innocence. Amen. Somebody say amen. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if you want to remember a scripture, remember that one. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Amen. Somebody say new creation. Creation has to do with original formation, amen, which means that God returned us to that original form of innocence, glory to God, when we accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior of our lives. Somebody say amen. And we also learn along with that, that when we do sin, being saved, that God no longer imputes that sin to our account, amen. He do not associate sin to us, or he does not attribute sin as belonging to us, because Jesus, when he was on the cross, he took all the sin, amen.
Yeah.
He took sin past, present, and future, amen. The Bible said he who knew no sin, he being Jesus, he had no intimate relationship with sin. He became sin for us so that we can become the righteousness of God, amen.
Yeah.
So when God looks at us, his children, he sees righteous people. Righteous people in right standing with him, amen. Or righteous people as it relates to not being sinners anymore. Somebody say
amen.
Now in position, we're righteous. But in condition, sometimes we are unrighteous, amen. But you still look righteous to God, amen. We just have to work out the unrighteousness that we often do in the earth realm by way of sanctification, and we'll get back to that at some point. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So number one, they fail from innocence. We reclaim that innocence through Christ Jesus, amen. Number two, we told you that Adam and Eve, when they sinned in the garden, they fell from dominion. God had given them the power to reign over everything except one another. Everything in the earth realm to reign over except one another, amen. They were reigning. Somebody say reigning. They were the big dogs. I mean, nothing could conquer them. They conquered everything, amen. But when they disobeyed God, they fell from that place of dominion. Now, we also have learned in Christ Jesus, we have regained, somebody say regained, regained that dominion. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, thank you, Kathy, tells us that God desires us to what? Reign in life. He don't only desires, but he gave us the ability. He gave us the Holy Ghost. He gave us the Word. We're born again in our spirits. So we don't have to allow situations to reign over us. We can reign over them. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now, you can't reign over people. You can't reign over what Pat do to you, but you can surely reign over how you respond to Pat. Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Pat can cuss me from A to Z. Somebody say A to Z and then find some more alphabets if you can. I'm responsible. I'm not responsible for her mouth, but I'm responsible for my mouth. Amen. I'm responsible for how I respond to her. Amen. She could persecute me from the east to the west, amen. And I use Pat because I can, and she's not going to get upset with me. She could persecute me from the east to the west. I'm not responsible for what she do, but I'm responsible for what I do, amen. I'm responsible even though she might be acting a fool with me. I'm responsible to respond to her in love, amen. If I respond to her in love, love does no ill to nobody, amen. Somebody say amen. I have to respond that way because I'm the Christian. I'm Christ-like. I'm not saying she's not the Christian, amen, but just in case she might fall prey to the sinful nature or to the flesh or get carnal, glory to God, I'm still supposed to take my stand in doing what's right as it relates to being like Christ. Somebody say amen. I'm supposed to imitate God. Say imitate God. The scripture says imitate God as dear little children, amen. Or because I'm his child, I'm supposed to act like him no matter how you act, amen. Am I making sense to you?
Yes, sir.
So I'm supposed to reign. Somebody say reign. I'm supposed to rule in life.
Yes.
But Pastor, what happens if you don't? If you don't get up and start reigning.
Yes.
Learn how we're supposed to respond in any situation. Christ's way. And you can dominate. So I can dominate. So number two, we said that they fell from dominion, and then we reclaim, say reclaim, or regain that domination in Christ Jesus. Number three, we said they fell from the providential care of God. Adam and Eve was taken care of by God. They didn't have to worry about no food. They didn't have to worry about no rent. They didn't have to worry about no lights. They didn't have to worry about no water. Everything was right there for them, amen. But Adam and Eve acted a fool. They acted unwisely and sinned against God. And they lost the providential care of God. We thereby lost the providential care of God, amen. But in Christ Jesus, we regain that providential care, amen. The Bible says, I think in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 19, but God shall supply, and God shall supply all of my need, which means he's going to take care of me according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus our Lord, amen. So in Christ, it is very good news. In Christ Jesus, we regain that providential care of God, amen. And then number four, I told you that at the fall, somebody say at the fall. At the fall, Adam and Eve lost their perpetual relationship or their ongoing fellowship with God. Amen. They walked in the garden. God walked in the garden. They could say, hey, God, whenever they got ready to, amen. What's up, God? What you got to say to us today, amen? They could communicate with him whenever they got ready. But when they disobeyed, well, disobeyed to be short for disobeyed, amen. When they disobeyed, God kicked them out of the garden. So they couldn't fellowship with him anymore like they did while they were in the garden. Amen. Now, God chose to fellowship with a select few after the fall. Amen. But Adam and Eve couldn't fellowship the way that they used to. Thereby, we couldn't fellowship the way that we might have wanted to. Amen. But we regained. Somebody say regained.
Yes.
We regained that place of fellowship in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
You can talk to God whenever you want to. We can talk to God whenever we want to.
Amen.
And he hears us. Say he hears us.
You
know, we could even go into the holy in the hole of holies. Amen. Why? Why? Because Jesus, when he died, the veil was rent. Amen. The veil that kept the people from going into the presence of God was rent. Now we can go in the presence of God through worship. Amen. And when we get to heaven, somebody say amen. The Bible says, and I think it's John chapter 14, verse number 6, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man can get to the Father except by him. We get back in fellowship with God by way of Jesus Christ. I know I'm talking fast because I'm trying to get somewhere. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Number 5. Is this happening to anybody?
Yeah.
Number 5. We said that Adam and Eve, when they failed, they lost their status called eternal life. God kicked them out, put an angel, put a flaming sword. So they couldn't get back in, amen.
Wow.
And he really did them a favor. Because had he not kicked them out and put the angel there to keep them from eating from the tree of life, they would have ate from the tree of life and lived in a damned or condemned state, amen. So God put them out, and then he allowed us to regain eternal life. How? Through Jesus Christ. So we can live with Jesus Christ forever. Somebody say forever.
Forever.
Through accepting him as Lord and Savior of our life. And then I got to number 6. Somebody said number 6. We said that at the fall, say at the fall. Adam and Eve fell from grace, favor, and the blessing. Somebody say grace,
favor,
and the blessing.
Amen.
Now, grace is God's unmerited favor. Favor is God's, for lack of a whole lot of words, is God's special kindness toward us. Somebody say special kindness. They lost that. We lost it. Now, we see a little common grace, but grace as it relates to how God really deals with his children. That was lost in the fall. Somebody said
in the fall.
But through Christ Jesus, we regain that favor. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Let me just read that scripture to you one more time. Romans, where the scripture at, Lord? Romans chapter 5, we'll just read verse number 11. 11. New King James Translation. So, you know, when you walk around here talking about your favor, that's true. I don't know whether or not you really understand to what extent you're favored. But when you walk around talking about your favor, you're special.
Yeah.
Like he tell everybody granddad baby. All of us special to God. Kenny older than I am. I'm older than somebody else. And somebody else older than somebody else. But we still all special to him.
Amen.
We still have his favor on our lives. Amen.
Yeah.
And it's because of Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Can I help you today? Let's read this scripture first. He says that not only that, but we, he says some prophetess, but we also rejoice. Somebody say,
I'm happy.
We rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through whom we have now what? Received the reconciliation. I used to think for a long time that meant to receive the friendly relationship back with God again. And then I looked it up. And it gave me some little long Greek word. And the Greek word definition is restoration to divine favor.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in Christ Jesus, I've been restored. You've been restored.
Yeah.
To divine, not human favor, but divine favor. That's how you got a battle there, Michael. Divine favor, amen. That's my brother right there. Divine favor, amen. That's how a lot of us got out of a lot of places. Divine favor, amen. Divine favor, amen. Somebody say divine favor. You don't have to roll all over the floor or be a holy roller to get it. You got it because you're in Christ Jesus. Amen. You need to, Lord, I know I got your favor. I know I'm in a bad place. Please let your favor bring me out of this. Amen. Divine favor. You got special treatment from God. I got special treatment from God. Amen. You know, when I roll up in sales sometimes, I go to sales all the time. I roll up in sales sometimes, I don't want to walk. I said, Lord, I thank you that I have favor with you in Jesus' name. The Holy Spirit might say, go back around one more time. I go back around one more time. There that car bagging out right there. I just pull right on it and I said, thank you for favor, Lord. That's preferential treatment. Amen. You know, you go to buy your car tag, you're in the back of the line. I think that I got favor, Lord. Let me move up some kind of way, amen. Somebody say, come on up here. That's favor, amen. That's preferential treatment, amen. We have that kind of favor with the Lord. You were wondering how you moved from the bottom of the pack in the application to the top of the pack and ended up getting the job. That's divine favor, amen. You need to learn how to work your favor, amen. Preferential treatment. Do y'all know how that grace got in the earth realm? Can I tell you? John chapter 1, verse number 17. John chapter 1, verse 17. I'm gonna get to the blessing in a minute. I told y'all what I was gonna talk about today. I'm gonna talk about today, if the Lord's will, amen. I'm sure I'm not gonna get it all done because there's a lot to share. Listen what Jesus, this is what the word says. John wrote that the law, say the law. You know, the Ten Commandments plus. Somebody say Ten Commandments plus. Yes. You know, when we think about the law, oftentimes we just think about the Ten Commandments. Yes. You need to go to the book of Exodus and read on. Because he gave the ten, and then he gave an explanation or an exposition on all of them. And it took him about 3 or 4 books to do that. Amen. Yes, sir. If you really knew what was attached to the ten, it's about 613 prohibitions, if you will, amen. You would shout when you hear grace, amen. Yes. Because under grace, God don't look for us to try to keep all of those laws, amen. Yes. We're just in Christ Jesus, and he expects us to follow the Word and the Holy Ghost. Somebody say amen. Yes. I want to help you today. More than the Word. Somebody's going to throw a stick at me. He wants you to learn how to follow the lead of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Yes. Because if you can follow the lead of the Holy Ghost, you can be blind and follow the Lord. Amen. Yes. You can be deaf and follow the Lord. Amen. Yes. You can be in a place where you can't read and follow the Lord. Amen. Yes. Because the Holy Ghost is leading you. Amen. Yes. And if you found out how he lead you, you can go wherever God wants you to go. You can find yourself resting in the Lord. Amen. Yes. Somebody say the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. And he didn't hit nobody. He already on the inside of you. Amen. So he just rises up, amen, and leads us, amen. He's not out here in the wild blue desert, even though he's with us, but he's also in us, glory to God. That's why he can lead us from the Spirit, amen. That's why he can speak to your mind, because he's there, amen. Somebody said the Holy Ghost. He ain't going to make you run, glory to God. He might keep you from running if you're going to hurt yourself, amen. Somebody said the Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost.
Yeah. Can I be real plain? That's a powerful dude, man. You mean you call the Holy Ghost a dude? He's a person, amen. He's the third part of the Godhead, amen. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, amen. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. He is God, amen. Living on the inside. Folks, tasting the glory of God, and you got the glory on the inside of you, amen. You ain't got to taste no glory. You ain't got to be chasing after him, amen. He's already here. You ain't gotta wait to go to heaven to experience his presence. He's already here. Amen. I'm getting trying to turn out with some of these songs. Amen. That keeps us in unbelief. Amen. The glory. Somebody say the glory. The visible manifestation of God is right here. And he's trying to make him visible in my life. So the law came through Moses. You know, Moses went up on the mountain. Spent some time with God. Came down. One time he got mad and dropped the law and broke him. But he went up on the mountain. He spent down, Lord. He brought the laws to the people. So the law came into the world through Moses. But grace. That tells us that the law wasn't good enough. Amen. That tells us all of us couldn't keep the law. Amen. So God made a way for all of us to please him without keeping the law. Amen. Man, y'all don't know where to shout. Amen. The law was a tutor. Amen. To drive us to Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me just make it plain. When Jesus Christ came on the scene, those folks who had sense enough to recognize grace, they said, good God, thank God for grace. Because I'm trapped. Talking like Larry now. I'm tired of trying to keep all those laws. Amen. Now I can be saved by grace through faith, not saved by keeping laws, amen. Because grace came into the world through Jesus Christ. When you see Jesus, you see grace. When you see everything that Jesus did in the earth for him, you see him doing those things by grace. Now he came to fulfill the law, but he also came to introduce grace to us. Every deliverance was a grace deliverance. Every healing was a grace healing, amen. Every deliverance, every healing was out of the kindness of God. Amen. Yeah, yeah. Am I making sense to you?
Yeah.
So we need to learn how to access what God has done in grace or through grace for us. Amen.
Yeah.
And the only way you can access what God has done through grace or in grace for us is by faith. Faith don't mean do nothing. Faith means believe. Faith means put confidence in. Amen.
Yeah.
See, you're trying to work to please God, but that's not God's way. Can I help you? When you try to work or keep the law to please God, the scriptures say you fall from grace. I ain't trying to fall from grace. I love grace, but.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So the only way we can access healing, deliverance, wholeness is through faith. Faith being believing and faith being confidence in God.
Yeah.
Mark chapter 11. I'm gonna get to the blessing. I'm gonna get there. Mark chapter 11, verse number 24. Let's talk about faith. Back up one. Back up another one. Y'all been praying for me. Y'all know I just found out what twerking was a couple of weeks ago. I used to hear people talk about it, Erica, but I didn't know what twerking was. And then I saw this dude twerking his wife. I said, Lord, have mercy. So Jesus answered. Let's get back here. Jesus answered and said, and some of your old folks still trying to say, what are they twerking? So Jesus answered and said to them, what? Have faith in God. What did Jesus do prior to him saying have faith in God? Well, he was on his way somewhere, and he saw a fig tree. And that fig tree had some leaves on it. And Jesus knew that if a fig tree had some leaves on it, it should have had some fruit up under the bottom of the leaves. Amen. So Jesus went to the tree because he was hungry. And he reached for a piece of fruit. Wasn't no fruit there. He said to that tree, you ain't going to never bear fruit no more again. So Jesus went on into the temple, ran all the folks out of the temple who was doing some things in there they shouldn't do, like selling. Let me stop right there because y'all think it's wrong to sell in church. To sell stuff in church. You know, that's what the old preachers told us.
Yeah.
And they used that scripture. Yeah. It ain't wrong to sell nothing in church. What they were doing was they were extorting the people. Listen. Let me help you. During that time, they only had one place they could go to worship God. Amen. They didn't have a church on every corner like we do. They had to travel from one place from another Judea to Jerusalem to worship, amen. Jesus had not yet died. So they were still bringing animal sacrifices and those kind of things to the temple to sacrifice. Somebody say amen. So when, if they traveled a long way, they did not want to bring animals and things from a long way. So when they got to the temple, they would purchase animals to sacrifice. Them Jews got slick. We can make a little money off this here, amen. So they start, what do they call it? They started price gouging, amen. They started charging a lot more for the animals, glory to God, than they should have charged for the animals, glory to God. So they started making a profit. Somebody say amen. And then they had certain money that they could sow in the temple, amen. They called it temple money, if you will, amen. Well, the folks didn't have the temple money. So they had to exchange regular money for temple money, amen. They extorted the people out of that money, amen. So Jesus went in there and saw them extorting. He said, "You made my father's house a house of or a den of thieves, amen." Which means you steal it from the people, amen. He said, My father said, my house shall be what called a house of prayer, amen. The reason why he kicked them out was because they were thieving from the people or extorting the people, amen. That don't have nothing to do with selling a CD every now and then or a book every now and then, amen. As long as you're not price gouging, amen. If you start gouging, God might have something to say to you about that, amen. Or selling a chicken sandwich for $5 and you could sell it for $1, amen. That's what that was all about. So anyway, Jesus went on and done all that. He kicked the folks out of the temple. And he came back out, and him and his disciples were walking back to wherever they was going. I can't remember. And the tree had withered. And Peter remembered that it was a tree that Jesus cursed. Peter said, "Lord, that tree that you cursed, it has withered away already." And Jesus took that opportunity to teach them a lesson on faith. He said, and Jesus answered, "Have what? Who are you supposed to have your faith in? As a believer, where?" Somebody say, "In God." Faith has to do with believing God. Faith has to do with putting confidence in God to do whatever he said he's going to do. Amen. And then he went on to teach the lesson. Next verse. He said, "For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain," listen, that was a literal mountain. I know we called it everything else. "Be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not what?"
Doubt.
Where?
In heart.
How many of y'all can go out there and speak to a mountain and believe that it's going to move? It ain't going to be many of us. Because our faith hadn't reached that point. But God is teaching us, if we could get our faith powerful enough, we can speak to some mountains. And they will get out of our way. What does it mean to have doubt? Lack of faith, unbelief. Go to James chapter 1, verse number 8, real quick. Then we'll come back to this. "Lord, I told these folk I was going to talk to them about the blessing. I ain't got but 12 minutes, and you got me out here. I'm going to tell them you did it, Lord. I'm dying." But anyway, the Bible said he is a double-minded man, unstable in his ways. Okay, all of his ways, amen. So to be a doubtful man is to be a double-minded man. A doubtful man is a man with two minds. Say two minds.
Two minds.
He believe on this side, he doubt on this side, amen.
Yes.
Okay.
Which means he's unstable.
Yes.
Okay. If you're unstable in your mind, you can't expect to receive nothing from God. Because we got to believe and not doubt.
Yes.
Back up two verses real quick. This has everything to do with asking for wisdom. But let him ask his faith. Back up one more time. If any one of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who what? Gives liberally and without what? Reproach. He was not going to try to disgrace you, belittle you because you're asking for wisdom. He ain't going to call you dumb and all that kind of stuff like some of us might do. Amen. And it will be what? Next verse. But let him ask how?
In faith.
Say in faith.
In faith.
How?
With no doubt.
So with no doubt. So if you ask God for wisdom and you if you have some doubt in your mind whether or not he's going to give it to you, you're not going to get it. Because you got two minds. Now, I can believe him for wisdom. But I don't think I got to that mountain thing yet. No. See, that's where we've erred. Now, we can translate it to be in any kind of mountain. But when Jesus was teaching, he was talking about a literal mountain.
Mm-hmm.
A literal mountain.
Mm-hmm.
So because we sometimes we don't understand particular things, we dumb down things. Amen. We need to learn how to understand the translation. Amen. And not dumb down what the scripture is saying. See, Jesus tried to teach us how strong faith can get anything. Amen. And if you dumb down the mountain to something small, guess what? Your faith might stay there. Amen. So we're trying to get up to the mountain. Not go down to the small.
Yes.
Does this make sense to you?
Yeah.
He said, but let him, and I'm not fussing. I'm not, Anthony, I'm not fussing. It was his time last time. It was your time this time. And it'll be somebody else's time next time. Amen. Because God wants us to understand what he's saying. But let him ask in faith with what? No doubting. For he who doubts is like what? A wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Verse number 7. For let not that man suppose that he will receive what?
Anything.
You got two minds. You got doubt on this side. I remember old Kenny. Now I remember Kenny. Kenny said, my left side tell me to do this and my right side tell me to do this. My left side bad, my right side good. Amen. He had to get his sides together, amen, so he can always do what's right, amen. Does that make sense? So if you're two-minded or double-minded, you're unstable. You shouldn't expect to receive nothing from the Lord. A lot of times, a lot of us don't. I mean, we come to the altar sometime and we praying for healing. You got one mind saying God gonna heal you, another mind saying he ain't gonna heal me. You're double-minded.
Yeah. Good teaching, Pastor.
If you could get one mind that is a faith mind and keep that faith mind, guess what? There's no telling what God will do in your life. There's no telling what you can do. Well, Pastor, we only human. That's why we're working on that human side. Amen. You know, we're studying the battlefield of the mind in our small group, and we've learned that we can choose to have doubt or choose to have faith. You cast that doubt down. Because you're thank you, Usher. Because you're in control of your mind.
Yes.
Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it makes sense.
Okay. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Verse number 8. Again. 8. He is what? Double mind. Unstable how?
In all.
Go back to Mark chapter 11. So when Jesus spoke to that tree, he had no doubt that that tree was going to wither. Because he got one mind.
Yeah.
And that's a faith mind. Amen.
Yeah.
That's how he was able to do everything God told him to do, because he had one mind.
Yeah.
Whatever God said, he believed it and he did it.
Yeah.
So he had no doubt. We got to get one mind as it relates to God. That's a faith man. Why, Pastor, why he heal sister so-and-so and didn't heal me? Maybe you had two minds? I mean, why he gave sister so-and-so a job to give me one? Maybe you had two minds? I'm just saying. Maybe. You know, when I read the Gospels, And I'm going to get back to this in a minute. I got 6 minutes, Lord. I got to talk about the blessing. When I read the gospel sometime, I see God was, or Jesus was hard as on his disciples when they didn't believe what he said.
Yeah.
Or when they partially believe what he said and then didn't go the whole way with it. You remember after Jesus fed the 5,000 with two fish and five loaves of bread? He sent the disciples on ahead of him, and he wanted to stay and send the folks away. And while he was there, he decided to pray for a little while. And by the time he got through praying, the disciples were way out there in the water somewhere. So Jesus went on out there and walked on the water. Because he had one mind. He had one mind. He believed that if I step out there on that water, I'm going to walk, buddy. So he walked on the water. And when he got to his disciples, they thought it was a ghost. He said, "Don't be afraid, it's me." He go, big mouth, tell me, Peter, if it's you, Lord, bid me to come. What did Jesus say? He told him, come on. Hold on, come, go somewhere. Don't shout yet. Peter got out the boat. He believed. He started walking on the water. Peter looked at the wind and the waves, and he began to sink. And he hollered, "Help me, Lord!" Lord got him. They got in the boat, and the waves stopped. And I'll tell you what happened, Lord. Your faith was little, Peter. Oh, you a little faith. Why did you doubt? He had enough faith to start, but he didn't have enough faith to finish. Amen. So Jesus had to rebuke him for having little faith, which meant that if he's going to go the whole distance with what God said to him, his faith had to be built. His faith had to be built from little to better.
Yeah.
From better to great.
Yeah.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Y'all remember when Peter, James, and John went up on the mountain with Jesus? Jesus pressed figure himself.
Yeah.
Some dude came down and said his son was a lunatic. He had epilepsy. And the dude brought his son to Jesus' disciples, and they could not heal him. Jesus came down. He said, "I'm so tired of y'all. I've been here this long with y'all. And y'all still can't do what I asked you to do." Amen. Y'all got to get to a point where you do what I've given you power to do. Bring the boy to me. Jesus rebuked the demon cast out. Disciples say, "Lord, why could we not heal him?" He had no faith. That's what Jesus said. Now they had faith in Jesus. See, but they didn't have faith to do what he asked them to do. Amen. Okay, let me help somebody. You can have faith in Jesus. But you might have had the faith to carry out his instructions, amen. You can have faith in him for salvation, but you might not have the faith to carry out his instructions, amen. About 4 or 5 chapters prior to that, Jesus gave them power over the demons, gave them power over all manner of sickness to heal it and cast out the demons. When the demon man came with a demon-possessed son, they should have been able to do it, amen. But they couldn't do it because they didn't believe. So we got a house full of folks who believe in Jesus Christ. But do you believe that you can do what he told you to do?
Yes, sir.
Beyond salvation. Now, I saw Jesus praise folks who had faith in what God said. You know, the ruler who brought his son, who brought his servant that needed to be healed. And Jesus said, "I go to your house and heal him." He said, "No, Jesus, I don't want you to come to my house." He said, "Just speak the word." Jesus said, "That's some great faith right there." Because he understands the power of my words. Amen. If we just learn how to operate in the word do the work. Amen. Man, y'all missing some heavy stuff today. But the problem is a lot of us won't get in the word. So we don't know what God wants us to do. I got 1 minute, Lord. Got to get to the blessing. God has given us all this stuff through grace. And we can't access it because a lot of times we don't have the faith. We're double-minded. So here's the lesson. For surely I say to you, whosoever saith to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt. Say, does not doubt.
Yes.
You got to believe and don't doubt.
Yes.
And don't doubt in his heart, but believe that those things he says will be done, he will what?
Have.
That implies you won't believe what you say sometimes. That's why you can't have what you say. I just want to please you, Lord. I just want to please you, Lord. Lord, what I need to do? What I need to do to please you, Lord? Have faith. Can I help you real quick? There's some stuff that God will tell you in relationship with him that will be so powerful that he wants to do through you. Until all you can say is, Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. Because you can't do it. Y'all remember Mary? The mother of Jesus? An angel showed up and said, you're going to have a baby. The baby's going to be the word of God. You ain't never had a man before. The Holy Ghost is going to overshadow you. And Jesus is going to be filled up on the inside of you. And in 9 months, you're going to give birth to Jesus. All miracles say, Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. Amen. Because she knew it was impossible to have a baby without intercourse. But if you say, Lord, that the Holy Ghost is going to overshadow me and it's going to happen, just let it be done to me according to your word. Amen. And it happened. Luke chapter 1, verse number 38, real quick. Man, some things God said to me in my personal relationship with the Lord, I'm going to talk about rest a little bit next week. I'm going to talk about the blessing if it's the Lord's will. Because that's something. When we understand the blessing is on our lives. So I'm saying something about the blessing. The blessing is on our lives. The blessing is the empowerment from God to get done what he wants done through mankind in the earth realm. But in order for the blessing to work properly, you got to rest in him. So we got to understand what rest means. If it's Lord will, I'll tell you all this next week. Keep you on the edge of the seat so you can come back. Amen. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be done how to me? Listen to what she said before this. Listen to what she said before that verse. Back up. I'm so tired of that faith stuff, Pastor. For with God, what? Nothing will be impossible. When you say something like that, if God say that, the Holy Spirit going to impregnate you, amen. And you, all your life you've been knowing to take a man and a woman to get together. That was powerful. The first thing she understood was it wasn't nothing too hard for God. And then secondly, she said, verse number 38. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. This is who I am, Lord. Let it be done to me. How? Ain't nothing I can do to make this happen, Lord. You're going to have to do it. And I know your word is powerful enough to bring to pass what you said it was going to bring to pass.
Yes.
So according to what you said, let it happen.
Yes.
Lord, I want to please you. Lord, I want to please you. Lord, I want to please you.
Yes.
What I need to do, Lord. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. And I'm closing. I did say something about the blessing now.
Yes.
I just didn't get detailed. Yes. If the Lord would have told me last week he wasn't going to let me say this, teach the blessing. I wouldn't have told you if it's, well, I said if it's his will. Thank you, Larry. That was the Holy Ghost. Amen. If it's his will. I want to please say, somebody, I want to please him. I want to please him. I want to please him. Listen to this. But without faith. Listen. Is what? So what does it take to please him? God didn't want us to believe him. Baby, if he said he going to hear you, you need to believe that and stop saying, I think he will. I know he will.
Yeah.
What we need to practice saying is, I received it. By his stripes, I am healed.
Yeah.
Lord, I thank you that you bore my sicknesses. You've already taken them away. So all I got to do is believe in grace that you gave me my healing, so I'll receive it. And don't back up off of that. Every time you feel a pain, Lord, I thank you that I'm whole.
Thank you.
I was telling my wife, she was having some back problems. And she was telling, what's the back problems that day? Girl, you so pretty, I just can't stand to look at you while I'm preaching. Amen. Shock a con, boy. Anyway. He helped me to get her. Did I ever tell y'all the story? You know, I believe that God made you for me.
Yeah.
I believe that God made me for you.
Uh-huh.
At the right time.
Uh-huh.
I was with another two chicks.
Uh-huh.
He put you in my path.
Uh-huh.
And then he taught me how to put me in your path.
Yeah. Thank you.
And the next thing you know, 35 years later, you still do. And I still do. And what was I telling you? Amen. I ain't been the same either. What was I saying before I got to that? Y'all gonna have to help me. What was I saying about it? It's impossible to please him. I was saying something else, but y'all can't remember it. I can't either. For he who comes to God must what? Somebody said believe. Somebody said believe. Oh yeah, I laid my hands on her back and she feel better. And then I told my wife one day, I said, baby, you gotta make this confession every day. I thank you, Lord, about the stripes of Jesus. I'm healed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm whole in my mind and in my body, from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. Even when you ain't hurting. Just make that confession.
Yeah.
When I start hurting sometimes, I say, Lord, I thank you. Because I'm saying it on a regular basis. I'm whole. I'll be pimping. I'm healed.
Yeah.
I'm healed, healed.
Right, right.
I'm healed, healed.
Yeah.
From the top of my head to the sole of my feet.
Yes, Lord.
I believe what his word says.
Yeah.
His word said, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed.
Yeah.
And if you look in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 24, it says, we were healed.
Uh-huh.
Which means it's already done. Amen. So when you start saying he will heal me, you putting your healing in the future. And when you say I am healed, you put your healing right in the present. So stop saying he will, because he has. You just receive what he's done. Amen. Does this make sense to you? See, if it's the Lord's will, next week I'm going to talk about the finished work. All this stuff we asking God for, within his will, like healing and deliverance, that's finished work. It's already done.
Yeah.
All you got to do is walk up under it, amen.
Yeah.
It's like the rain falling down right there. It's already coming down, amen.
Yeah.
If you want the blessing that comes with the rain, all you got to do is walk up under it, amen.
Yeah.
Just receive it, amen.
Yeah.
It's finished work.
Yeah.
When Jesus said it was finished, he was talking about a whole lot of stuff that was finished, amen.
Yeah.
It's finished. Well, I'm sure it's in the scripture.
Absolutely.
It's finished work. You know, we quote the scripture, all the promises of God are yes and amen through Christ Jesus our Lord. Actually, what he said, give me 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 20. I'm going to come back to this and I'm be done, I promise. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 in the New Living Translation. New Living Translation. For all of God's promises, everything that God has promised us, have been what? Fulfilled in. Somebody say in.
In.
In Christ with a what? Resounding yes. And through Christ what? Our amen. Which means yes, ascends to God for his glory. Everything that God has promised has already been done. In Christ Jesus. You just got to get to the place. We got to get to the place where we have faith in him that it has been done. And we receive what he's done.
Yeah.
So how you going to please him? Michael, go back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, and I'm closing. Faith. If you could just believe him.
Yes.
But Pastor, you don't know my circumstances. Everybody got circumstances.
Yes.
My dad-in-law told me everybody got troubles.
Yes.
I ain't know it was going to be like this. Everybody thought that it wasn't going to be like this. Amen. But if you can just believe God, you can come out of some of this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to lie, I'll be lost for the rest of my life. If that's what you believe, that's what you're going to be. But if you believe God, what he said, we can speak truth in love.
My Lord.
And start saying that, you come out of that line.
Yeah.
I used to lie for sport. I used to lie just to look good.
Bless the Lord, bless the Lord.
You ain't going to hardly catch me telling a lie these days. Because I don't want to be that. Well, even though I know I'm not that, I don't even want to exercise that. Man, you tell one lie, you got to tell another. You tell, then you got to keep up with all the lies you told so you won't trip up. Amen. What's up with that? But you told me yesterday. Oh, then you got to go try to fix all that. Amen. Somebody say faith. If you want to please God, you got to believe it. And you also got to believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder. Say a rewarder. Of those who diligently seek him. So it's all about faith. Faith has about two or three components. One is belief. Somebody said belief. That's where you got to start, believing. If you can just believe what God says. If he give you an instruction, if you believe him, you can walk out the instruction. The Bible says that Abraham believed God.
Yeah.
It didn't say Abraham did nothing but believe God. And it was accounted unto him. Counted unto him as righteousness. All he did was believe. And God said, that's the right response right there. You just believe me. I know I didn't get to the blessing, but I'm going to tell you what I told you last week. If it's God's will, I get to it next week. I got to get to it because you got to understand the blessing. Because, see, you're so busy in your human efforts trying to do what God has called you to do. Until, you know, if you're trying to do it in your human efforts, the blessing ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. Why would the blessing work and you try to do it in your own human effort?
Why would it?
So it has to be one or the other. I heard somebody talking about generational curses yesterday. Man, I like to jump out of the seat. But I said, no, I ain't going to do that. Because there ain't no generational curses in Jesus Christ. If it's the Lord's will, I'm going to get to that next week. Ain't no generational curses. There might be some generational sin.
Yeah.
All those curses have been lifted in Christ Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Any curse that can come on you for not doing the will of God. You remember I told y'all God told me to stop teaching that and I taught it again anyway because I heard somebody else. I bet I won't teach it no more. And I told them last week, and I know I'm over my time, I'll never teach you again that if you're cursed, that you're cursed with a curse if you don't tithe. Never teach you that again. I'll never teach you that again because the curses that came down upon the Jews, actually, under the old covenant, they've been done away with.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to teach you to give, and I'm going to teach you that tithing came before the law.
Yeah.
But if you don't tithe, ain't no curse on your life. We got to get to the place where we understand covenants, the difference in the covenants. One old, one new. The new one got better promises, amen. The old one, the scripture says, is obsolete, amen. It's passing away, amen. See, we want to run everything together, amen. We want to run everything together, but there's the old showed us what the new was going to look like. And the new revealed to us what the old was trying to show us, amen. So as Christians, we're just supposed to operate under the new covenant, amen. Can you learn something from the Old Testament? Yeah. I heard a preacher that really blessed me the other day. He was saying some of the same stuff God's been giving me to say. He said, I'm not telling y'all I'm not going to teach the old covenant anymore. I'm not going to tell you I'm not going to teach anything from the Old Testament anymore, but we need to operate under the new covenant, amen. We need to, if I had my way, and I don't have my way because I'm under the Lord's control, lordship. I would try my best before I retire to teach you everything I understand about the new covenant so you can operate in it. We can't, man, the Holy Ghost speaks to me sometimes and says, out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. At first, I didn't know what he was talking about, even though I knew what the word says. But now I learn that when he tell me that, it's something in my heart that I need to be purified of. I can't purify my own heart, so I apply the blood of Jesus to my heart. My heart being my mind and my feelings, so that they can be purified. Is that a one-time process? No. Your heart, you can get your heart clean, just like you get your clothes dirty today. Put them in the cleaner, they be all washed, they be clean tomorrow. You put them back on, guess what happens? They're going to get dirty again. That's the way your heart is. It gets dirty over and over and over again. So now when the Holy Ghost speaks to me and says, out of the abundance of your heart, I know it's something in my heart that needs to be cleaned up. Before I mess up, I get my heart cleaned up. Does that make sense? It's just a lot of New Testament stuff we don't understand. Don't say to me, give me that old time religion, because you're going to upset me. Because sometimes the old time religion, you say it's good enough for your mama, it's good enough for you. Sometimes that was incomplete. So we need to understand the new covenant. I've been preaching long enough. I don't even know what a covenant is. I'll teach you. Let's pray.